You're listening to Hockey Central Saturday with Nick Alberga and Rory Boylan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Time to recap the penultimate Saturday of the NHL season. 12 games, 24 teams in action. The push to the Stanley Cup playoffs continues. It's Hockey Central Saturday across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Nick Alberga joined alongside Rory Boylan at the Golden Muzzy at Rory Boylan. Thanks to producer Hayden Mathewson, statistician Papa Minnow here on location, and to Tristan and Jared back at Master Control. We get closer and closer, Rory, to the Stanley Cup playoffs. A lot still to decide going into action on Saturday. Teams like the Islanders, the Dallas Stars, the Toronto Maple Leafs had a chance at clinching a Stanley Cup playoff berth. Meantime, Calgary a shot at clinching the Pacific Division.
And the wild card race there in the Eastern Conference, all three teams, Carolina, Columbus, Montreal, still kind of in the hunt, on the precipice of falling out maybe. All of them putting heat on each other tonight. All of them doing very well. It's that one, unlike the one in the West, which is, I guess, picking up a little bit of steam here recently, that one in the East is going hard right until the very end. It's going to be very hard still for Montreal on this uphill climb, but, they're hanging in there. A very impressive showing for the Habs tonight. Not so much for their chief rivals in Toronto. This is going to be a continuing trend until the Leafs show a little bit of life here before the playoffs start. There's going to be a lot of fans worrying about that first round matchup against Boston.
I think in this country in general, there's that growing sense of anxiousness, if you will, or anxiety towards what's upon them because of the projections, the predictions, the anticipation of what's potentially to come. You know, the added pressure that this nation hasn't won a Stanley Cup since 1993. And there's a lot of team before this season pegged in from Canada to go really, really far and really have not been good down the stretch, namely the Maple Leafs. They can and they won't. They can and we will. Whatever the line was, we can and we will from the 31 Thoughts podcast. I mean, it's been a struggle for the Maple Leafs, the last couple of weeks. The Winnipeg Jets, you know, Calgary's played much better as of late, but there isn't that resounding team you look at right now in Canada and you say, hey, well, they're really going to get there potentially.
No. Now, well, what I will say is the stat I cited earlier on this show, that 8 of the last 11 Stanley Cup champions finished in the top 5 and 5-on-5 goal differential in the regular season. Two of them this year right now are from Canada, Toronto and the Calgary Flames. The problem is Toronto's slowing down. And it's not clear who the number one goalie is going to be for the Calgary Flames in the playoffs yet. I'm kind of starting to think it's going to be Mike Smith.
Me too. What type of money would you put on the fact? Like, I'm putting good money on the fact that we're going to see both guys start a game in that series, which would include a blow up by somebody.
So if that happens, Calgary's falling behind in that series, and that's not good.
unless they win the first game, Smith gets pulled in the second, like something like that happens.
Right, okay, so say Smith allows 4 first period goals in game one.
Or they go up 2-0 and they get blown out in game 3.
Sure.
There's a possibility.
I guess.
But would you put good money on the fact that potentially probably will happen?
Yes, I would.
It's way too inconsistent, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah, like we're sitting here, we're a week out, a little bit more than a week out from the start of the playoffs, and we don't know. It's legitimately wide open right now between which one of those guys could start.
And also, I mean, you look at last spring, how many teams used both goalies, right? Like it seemed
Stanley
like
Cup champions.
Yeah, it seemed like, exactly. There's your first prime example, but it seems like most teams now in this day and age, especially, I don't care if it's the playoffs, the regular season, more likely than not, you're going to see both guys.
Yeah. Like I would actually, another team that I would expect to see that for, given their first round opponent, San Jose Sharks, you're probably going to see Aaron Dell in there at some point,
which is not good,
which is that's terrible. Like at least with Calgary, like if you start with Riddick, Mike Smith has been a number one before. If you start with Mike Smith, Dave Riddick was your number one for most of the season. If you're San Jose and you go to Aaron Dell, he has never been anything else besides a backup goalie.
Yeah, he's like Windows 95, and we're living in a Mac era.
Yeah.
Sadly. Let's get to the highlights. We'll start MTS Place in Winnipeg. The Jets and the Montreal Canadiens. I would argue a equally big game for both teams. Montreal fighting for their playoff lives. Winnipeg fighting for first in their division.
It's amazing that the Jets still haven't locked up that division, still could hypothetically in some scenario finish third in the Central, not even have home ice advantage in the first round. There's a lot of problems with this team at 5-on-5, but they did get a bit of good news tonight in that Dustin Byfuglien returned to the lineup.
Oh, massive news. And full credit to both netminders that felt in this game, especially Connor Hellebuyck. I tell you, this is one of the most impressive Montreal performances of this season.
Yep.
They threw 43 shots on goal on Connor Hellebuyck. He has been a story for the wrong reasons this season, but up to the task I felt in this game, 41 saves. But again, Montreal just a bit more desperate. How about a Joel Armia or a Yoel Armia revenge goal? Those are always fun. He was part of that Steve Mason trade, the salary dump back in the offseason, promptly scores in his return to Winnipeg. Number 12 from Danault and Wheel. It's still astounding. Along with your study about faceoffs, you got to do a study on guys who score, get a point in their return to their old play. Like it's insane. Like Armia
revenge.
Has been... Exactly.
That's your specialty.
It is. Revenge is my plate. Cold or hot, for that matter. Armia is 12th on the PP from Dano and Jordan Wheel. The depth scoring huge for Montreal in this game. It was 1-0 after one period of play into the second, late in the frame. Maybe the biggest goal of this Montreal Canadiens season thus far.
No shot, though. Keep it in deep. Left in behind the net was bumped. Domi has the puck back to the blue line. Over here. Score! Petrie, last one from the blue line. It's 2-0 Montreal.
Haha, Rory said a great joke during the Bob Cole clip. It's Bob Cole. Listen to the clip. An absolute legend. He'll do his last game next Saturday. Is it Jeff or is it Jeff Petrie? It's Jeff Petrie. He's 13th. How old are you? Cool. Don't answer that.
Man.
Domi, the other, says 2-0 Montreal after 40. Reminder, only one show remaining in this season, thankfully for all. It's 2-0 Montreal after 40. Into the third period, Winnipeg had a bit of life. Matthew Perreault was 15th from Roslovic and Trouba. 11-24, short-lived, however. Montreal would outlive and outweigh the Winnipeg Jets in this game, and they would ice it late.
Got it out for Shaw. Byfuglien coming back. It's going to be a chance for Canadians empty net. Score! Jordan Wheel seals the deal.
Robert Cole, thank you for everything. City TV there. Jordan Wheel has actually been a really good under-the-radar pickup from the Coyotes, the Philadelphia Flyers, the LA Kings, the Vancouver Canucks.
Everywhere.
His resume is 4 pages long. Wheel 7th from Shaw, the empty netter. And a 3-1 win for the Montreal Canadiens. Carey Price must have been saying, where has been this team for the last couple months? Just 23 saves in this game, but so impressive, this performance by the Habs.
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier Winnipeg's 5-on-5 problems. I mean, tonight it was really on display. The Habs out shooting them 34-23 at evens. I mean, since Morrissey and Byfuglien were out of the lineup, both of them, Winnipeg... The only team that they had a better 5-on-5 shot differential in the league were the Detroit Red Wings and New Jersey Devils. Like, they are so bad at even strength. Their penalty kill is not very good either, especially on the road. I've got some concerns about this Winnipeg Jets team, but I also at the same time wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the puck drops on game one and boom. Everybody's back healthy, although there's no timetable for Morrissey yet. Most people are back healthy, and this team just kind of kicks into another gear. They seem like they're capable of doing that.
They are, but I think across the board they need better efforts. And first and foremost, again, it's so pivotal with those two defensemen. But they got to find a way to get the consistency they saw last year from, like, Ehlers and Laine. Like, the other guys have been fully advertised. You know, Connor's had a great year, Scheifele, Wheeler.
Yep.
But guys like Laine and Ehlers, who feel they should be in the upper echelon of paid, need to start figuring it out.
Now is the time to do that. I mean, Ehlers has been paid. Laine still hasn't, right? So he's got to really step up and show, like, why he deserves to be paid at the same level of some of the top stars on a long-term contract. Because, like, as we know, as we've documented all season long on this, he's just been wildly inconsistent. The length of time he's gone without goals at points this year has been insane.
Snake bitten. It's still astounding to note that he scored 18 goals in the month of November and not many ever since.
Seems like so long ago.
Really is incredible. Next stop, the Ottawa Senators at home to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And for some reason, the Sens just have Toronto's number on home ice, and it continued into this game. Craig Anderson, I thought, was outstanding. Makes 42 saves. Garrett Sparks, well, I don't know what's the proper word for the opposite of outstanding, but he had his issues in this game. And it's been a theme with this team. It's not like this is new information to the Brain Trust in Toronto. But this team's still in preparation for the Stanley Cup playoffs. That said, another clunker against the Ottawa Senators on the win-or-loss column. Anthony Duclair, Magnus Pjarvi, the opening goals in this game. 2-0 for Ottawa after 40 in the third. The Leafs finally had life. Little snapper top cheese from Austin Matthews, number 37. How many times have we seen that in his early career on the power play? From Marner at 5:02, and then 27 seconds later, it was a tie hockey game.
Ottawa coming back. Tierney waiting for help. Dropped the puck off to Shabbat. Now he's caught. Here's a 2-on-1 the other way. Connor Brown shoots. He scores!
There's Jim Houston on Hockey Night in Canada, and it's Connor Brown back-to-back games with a goal. So that's big for the Maple Leafs in terms of depth, scoring his eighth from Ron Hainsey at 5:29. That said, it was very, very short-lived. A quick response by the Senators and the Rory Boylan turning point in this one.
And he couldn't tip the puck. Happening again. Turns on the boards. Checked by Christian Molanin. Marlow tried to get the puck back to the point. He stumbled, and the Senators are through center. Trailer is Cody Ceci. He shoots. He scores!
The proud sponsors of that turning point, Zion Williamson's overrated Duke Blue Devils. It's Cody Ceci, seventh from Tkachuk, and Colin White at 6:41. We win games at the buzzer. It's 3-2 for Ottawa. Anthony Duclair would score late. Some shade thrown in this program tonight.
Oof. I'll be texting you tomorrow night.
I don't even know they were playing. Ottawa wins again 4-2. What'd you make of this one, Roy?
Well, I mean, it's kind of, we've seen this so many times from the Leafs. They take it to the Senators. They were very much in control of this game. 44 shots for the Leafs. 37 of them were scoring chances, according to Natural Stat Trick. They outscoring chance the Senators 37-18. Like you said, Anderson was phenomenal. Toronto had their backup in, and Sparks has not been very good so far this season. The offense, again, like it's really nowhere to be seen. When they finally did get back into that game, the tie was held for, a minute and 12 seconds, not very long at all. It's just, you know, Toronto gets Travis Dermott back for this game. You still don't have Jake Gardner, but nothing has changed. Like, there's just...
There's no
desperation. They get the chances, they just aren't converting. And there's a little bit of bad luck in this, too.
Oh, sure, but I think when you look and analyze the Leafs' play over the last, say, 25 games, there's no killer instinct. You know, like... You look at some of the best athletes, the best teams, they seem to have that final grasp or they're going to suck you in and you're done. Yep. Toronto's missing that, I find.
So what I would say is, you know, there was that talk around the deadline that Toronto's missing that...
Snarl,
sandpaper, yeah. And people think of that as somebody that's got to punch somebody else in the face. But I think in the modern sense, it's what you just alluded to there. It's somebody that's going to just... Do something on the ice that's going to create a buzz on your bench or in your dressing room, whatever. In Toronto, like, who is that player? I don't even know who that player is. Like, is it supposed to be Zach Hyman or Connor Brown? I don't even think that they're really right for that role necessarily. You want to have some skill in that player, but Toronto is missing that a little bit for sure. And I'm still waiting for the guy. Remember when Garrett Sparks called out his teammates? Was that last week or the week before? 2 weeks ago. Thank you, Hayden.
New stats guy, Hayden.
Where's the starter? Where's the top six player, top six forward, top four defenseman? Somebody who plays a significant role on this team doing that same thing in a more forceful way.
No, you're right. Just a lack of desperation across the board for this Maple Leafs team. And for those hoping a switch will be turned, it better happen. I think you want some games with some momentum going into the Stanley Cup playoffs. You don't just start fresh, but we'll see. Again, it's going to be Toronto and the Boston Bruins all but locked up. The Maple Leafs, by the way, failed to lock out a playoff spot. Montreal won, but that's pretty much elementary at this point. By the way, coming up Monday night,
Get
your rubber snakes ready. Uniondale, John Tavares returning, Long Island 2.0. That should be a lot of fun. From there, we roll on. It's Nick Alberga, Rory Boylan, Hockey Central Saturday across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Vancouver, Van City next, the Canucks and the Dallas Stars. The Stars with a victory can clinch a playoff berth, a far cry from where they were when Jim Leitz, their owner, just ripped them to shreds. Well, I would say nothing has really changed. The same guys scoring goals, Roope Hintz, add him into the mix. Some other guys maybe, but for the most part, it's been the big boys, and understandably so. Dallas played strong in this game. Vancouver, Jacob Markstrom, it's been an incredible story this season. 38 saves in this game. Canucks... Again, ending this season on a high note, no doubt about that. They would kick off the scoring with two goals in the first period. Tim Schaller, start of the year from Beagle and Biega at 452. Then Sven Berchi returned a couple games back with scores ninth from Besser. 2-0 Canucks all the way to the third period. Finally, a response by Dallas. Andrew Cogliano, number six from Faxet, 9:14. And about 5 minutes later, suddenly this game was tied.
Janmark starts out for the Stars to the middle of the ice for Klingberg. Leaves it for Radulov. In front, they score! Tipped right in front, I believe, by Janmark. And the Dallas Stars have tied this thing up.
Dave Randorf, the call on CBC. Alex Radulov, number 27 from Klingberg and Janmark. Did you see who was the third star in this game?
I didn't, but now I want to see who this was. Who was it?
Luke Shen's on fire.
Oh, my. How?
We sort of joked earlier on Canucks Radio the other night. They were talking about re-signing Luke Shen. It's building momentum.
I thought the second goal was his fault. Wow. There you go.
I guess you're incorrect. They're looking to go, what, seven, eight years of Luke Shen?
That's home ice advantage.
Yeah. It's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes.
How did Luke Shen get the third star of this game?
Whose bright idea was it to put him with Quinton Hughes? Anyways, 2-2 after 40. Nothing solved in overtime. To the shootout we go. It took eight rounds.
Now Janmark has to score. Goals wide. Janmark fires it high to the net.
Another great call there from Dave Randorf and the Vancouver Canucks. They take it. It's Marcus Granlund mercifully ending it because it was save after save. We saw Quinn Hughes go again. I think he's got to work on his shootout play. But all in all, I mean, the swiftest skater you can see coming out of college. And Vancouver wins again 2-0 with Quinn Hughes in the lineup. Dallas picks up a point. Formality, the Stars are going to the playoffs.
Yeah, as we know, Toronto was the last team to get into a shootout this season. Dallas was the second last. They didn't actually get into one until St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, against the same Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah.
Happened again against Edmonton in their last game. And now happens again tonight against the Canucks. I thought this was just another fantastic game for Jacob Markstrom facing 40 shots. He's quietly and arguably been the MVP for this team all season long. I know Elias Pettersson has had a phenomenal year, but like Markstrom has exceeded any and all expectations for him. On the flip side, you know, Dallas doesn't really throw a ton of offense at you usually, but they did a pretty good job of that tonight. You're hoping that they can find some depth scoring in time for the playoffs, and that's what you're going to get in Andrew Cogliano from time to time, but there's just not enough of that from this team. Valeri Nichushkin, still without a goal through the season, plays just 8 minutes and 24 seconds. Like, I did not see this kind of a disaster coming in a million years.
No, and shamefully, you know, you go check out my Sportsnet article from my beginning time in September, and I was pimping, you know, this guy coming back from the KHL. He had a high pedigree, first-round pick, and for some reason, after his first season, I thought he was great, showed shades of really being something in the NHL, lost complete confidence in his game, and it just has never returned for Val Nichushkin in an uphill battle right now for Tobias Rieder to score one goal in the NHL this season, which is crazy. But
yeah.
Anyways, we talk about bragging rights next. The Edmonton Oilers, the Anaheim Ducks, both out of the Stanley Cup playoffs, but don't tell that to one Rickard Rakell.
Just couldn't finish it off for that shot of his.
Kept in by Silverberg. Rakell lets it go. He scores. Rickard Rakell gets his 16th goal of the season. And the Ducks strike first here in the second period. Silverberg back to the point. Hampus Lindholm across the Carpinian Holzer. The front of the net. Backhand. Rakell puts it home. His second goal of the period. And the Ducks have a 3-0 lead. Carpinian Holzer. They'll drop it back to Hampus Lindholm. Lindholm to Silverberg. Across the blue line. This is the Rakell shot. And there is the hat trick. The natural hat trick for Rickard Rakell.
If you're out somewhere right now and you got a natty light in hand, shotgun time. Rickard Rakell, the natural hat trick. I think a new law needs to be instituted in the NHL game. You score a hattie, you shotgun at center ice. It's like a storm surge, but like more of a revolutionized beer drinking type thing. Rickard Rakell, have a night. Edmonton does not have a night. No. Anaheim 5, Oilers 1. Hooray for all.
Rakell is one of these guys too. You know, back-to-back 30-goal seasons, and he's a big part of why this offense just kind of evaporated this year for the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what can you say here? This, I guess the These teams are so far out. This is the story of the game here, is that the Anaheim Ducks had the intention of playing Jake Dodgson on their blue line. He was listed as a scratch. So when he was on the bench ready to go, the referees had to come over and say, "You're out of here, bud."
Sorry, bud.
There he goes. He's gone, and the Anaheim Ducks had to play against Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers with five defensemen on the blue line, and it didn't make a difference.
Yeah, maybe
Mikko Koskinen got chased.
Maybe that's the key. Play the Oilers with five defensemen. They won't know what hit them.
Yeah, I mean, is it like playing without a goalie? You feel more desperate. You feel like you have to lay out a little bit more. I don't know.
I guess you play a bit more guilty, come to think about it. But a really impressive performance for Bob Murray's squad in the back end of a back-to-back here. Clearly, they got embarrassed, dismantled by Calgary on Friday. And then good response here. Great to see the pressure on, certainly with your general manager as your head coach right now. That's got to be some tense moments in that locker room for the Anaheim Ducks. Let's roll on to tense. John Tortorella is getting the best finally out of that Columbus team that went all in at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. It's now 20 goals in the last four outings for Columbus, riding a four-game win streak when it matters most. What a year for Cam Atkinson. Two more goals in this game, up to 41 on the campaign. It was 3-1 for Columbus, or 2-1, I should say. Cam Atkinson is 50 seconds in. Then Victor Arvidsson, number 33, shorthanded. Then David Savard deposits his eighth, and then the red hot Oliver Bjorkstrand, a big time goal, 3 seconds left in the first period, number 20.
Wow. Now Panarin on the counter. He goes back door, they score. The Jackets are just red hot, and they score with 1.9 on the clock. Huge save on one end and a goal on the other.
There's Willie Donick on Fox Sports Tennessee. That's six goals in the last six games now for Oliver Bjorkstrand. That one from Art Panarin. It's 3-1 Jackets after 20 in the second. Philip Forsberg gets Columbus only up one goal. That was a horrendous giveaway, I believe. I forget who stacked it at the line, but led to the goal. Forsberg is 27th from Subban at 12-14, a 3-2 game. But then Columbus with the quick response, and that's what matters most. At 13-38, suddenly a 4-2 game.
And interfere as best he can without getting called for interference. Al Fabro tripped up. Diving two is Jenner. He scores! Boone Jenner, a timely goal to answer Forsberg's goal. And just like that, it's 4-2. And this has been the kind of night it's been for the Predators.
It has and certainly was that type of night for the Predators. Boone Jenner, number 16 from Dean Kukan. 13-28, then Cam Atkinson again is 41st to 15-46, and good on Columbus finding their way. Bobrovsky's been hot. They've outscored their opponents 20-4 during this four-game win streak, Roy.
Yeah, Columbus just, I mean, finally it's coming together. When the offense was struggling, Artemi Panarin wasn't scoring. Now he's getting going again. It was really just a third line led by Josh Anderson. He's since got a promotion up to the line with Duchesne and Dzingel. They're clicking very well. Sergei Bobrovsky has been playing very well this month, too. It does seem to be finally coming together as Jarmo Kekalainen had hoped. And you just know that whatever happens this week, the last two games for Columbus are against the New York Rangers and the Ottawa Senators. And that's the best way to finish the season out of any of those three teams vying for one of those last two wildcard spots in the Eastern Conference. So it's setting up very well here for Columbus. Two things of note for the Nashville Predators here. Victor Arvidsson's 33rd goal ties the single-season team record with Jason Arnett and Philip Forsberg. And a guy we talked about last week on this show, Dante Fabro, making his NHL debut. I know you weren't thinking he was going to sign. I was a little bit surprised, too, because that defense is so loaded. Where's the real opportunity for him? But he plays 16 minutes, 12 seconds. 53 seconds on the shorthanded unit, gets three shots on goal, finishes a minus one.
He's going to be a stud in like 2 years.
Oh, yeah, he is.
There's one thing that Nashville knows how to do is progress their defenseman, no doubt about that. Moving forward, however, the New York Islanders, the Buffalo Sabres. Who would have thought that the New York Islanders would clinch a playoff spot before John Tavares' Maple Leafs? Well, folks, that's where we're at. Another great outing, and it's pretty much house money for the Islanders coming into this game. Buffalo was riding a 13-game road losing streak. It lost, 18 of 21 or 19 of 22. It's been a remarkable and remarkably sad run for the Buffalo Sabres, who, again, maybe they're tanking. Who knows? But Jordan Eberle kicks off the scoring in the first period at 7:41, his 18th from Barzal and Lee. More of the same into the second. at 820, number 17 on the year for Anthony Beauvillier.
Taves doing what he can to keep it on the Sabres' half of the ice. Only one fresh body. Beauvillier, he scores! The Islanders caught the Sabres in their zone for an eternity, and it ends with Anthony Beauvillier.
There's Brendan Burke on Rogers NHL Live, the call, and it's Beauvillier number 17 from Devon Taves. And Michael Dalcol gets into the act as third from Pellick and Brock Nelson. 3-0 for the Islanders after 20 in the third. How about a couple more because it's Buffalo? Ryan Pulick is 9th, and Beauvillier again is 18th. Victor Olofsson, congrats to him. His first NHL goal on the power play from Jack Eichel. But Robin Lehner, the revenge win, 31 saves. The Islanders, Rory, clinch a playoff spot. How about that?
Just amazing. Just amazing. Now you're 4 points up on the Pittsburgh Penguins for second in the Metro. You know, you're probably not going to fall down to the wild card at this point, at least. So that's a big win for the Islanders. Inside track to finish second and home ice advantage in that division, too. This win was kind of in the bag, but getting it in this fashion, after coming off of that amazing comeback against Winnipeg from Thursday night, that was something else too.
Yeah, there's been something with this Islanders team.
Yeah, like I was ready to, like their shots have been creeping up. Their goaltending has been a little bit more human in the last month or so, and I think Thomas Greiss has really locked down the starting job when the playoffs come around because of his play of late. And I was thinking they hit a wall. Something had caught up with this team, and they might be a first-round exit. I think they probably still will based on who they might play. But, I mean, this week they really showed a lot of life that I didn't think that they were going to have that kind of second life, I guess, in them.
Yeah, and speaking of second lives, I mean, look at this resurgence of a career for Robin Lehner, likely to win the Masterton Trophy. He was nominated earlier this week, likely to get a bigger contract after that $1 million value contract. Yep. And he gets a win here against his old team that didn't have trust in him. They let him go. He was finished, and it prompted him to say this in the postgame.
Oh, playoffs, baby. Playoffs. Right.
What does that mean, rights? That was Robin Lehner. That was a great clip right there. Obviously fired up to be going to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Off the top of my head, probably the first time in his career. So that's probably what prompted him. He was in Ottawa before. Prompted him to get rather excited in the post-game remarks there. So that's the story from Long Island. Not to mention, coming up on Monday, John Tavares return 2.0. Do you think they'll be as hostile?
Oh, yes, of course. I was seeing some talk this week. If John Tavares scores his 50th goal in front of the New York Islanders fans, will they forgive him? I'm thinking, what kind of a question is that? Of course not. That would make him more hostile.
Was it Hayden who posed this question on
Twitter? It might have been Hayden. You know, I'm going to put it on Hayden.
Who are these? Yeah, let's put it on Hayden, because that's quite the question.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. They're going to be more hostile, because now they have the security of, we're in the playoffs, we're on a roll here now.
They're going to be boisterous as hell. I can't wait for that game. I'd love to see those two teams tangle in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Not going to happen this year, sadly. We hit the break. Other side, we'll get to the five remaining games. Washington and Tampa, maybe 1-2 right now in the Eastern Conference, in a rematch of last year's Eastern Conference final, hooking up for the third time in the last 3 weeks. Did not disappoint there. Philadelphia and Carolina, a matinee affair. No more storm surge. I already missed it. RIP in that one. San Jose, Vegas.
We did get a storm surge today.
Yeah, I know. Sarcasm. Thought it was gone.
Yeah.
San Jose, Vegas, big one for that division title, or division second and third. And then Florida and Boston, and then we'll wrap up with New Jersey and St. Louis. It's Nick Alberga, Rory Boland with you on Hockey Central Saturday across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to Hockey Central Saturday across the Sportsnet Radio Network, the second to last Saturday of this NHL regular season. Breaking it down now, 12 games, 24 teams in action. It's Nick Alberga, Rory Boylan at the Golden Muzzy, at Rory Boylan, where you can find us on Twitter. And, you know, again, watching this game on Saturday, it just left me saying, hey, inject 7 games more of Tampa and Washington in my veins, please,
yes,
Rory Boylan.
Please. I mean, we've been treated to 3 games between these two teams this month. And all of them have been really good, and each one of them has been more physical than the one before it, and it hit a crescendo tonight.
Oh yeah, like it really has offered us a lot. Not, you know, goal scoring great saves from the goalies, some fights. Like, it's old school.
Yep.
In a mismatch of this era of style hockey, if that makes sense, too. Like, it's had everything.
Yeah. And extremely highly skilled, too, at the same time. Like, you had some amazing plays. You had some, you know, high-end players getting on the score sheet in this one. And then at the same time, you had a few fights. You had a few more that could have broken out. I mean, this is what playoff hockey is. I mean, you want that physical sandpaper element in the best series.
And we get it early, a week early, in the third time in the last 3 weeks. To the highlights we go in this one. Braden Holtby, Andre Vasilevsky, the starters, likely what we'd see, or not even likely, we'd see them in the Stanley Cup playoffs going against each other. And Washington looked like a very, very motivated team, considering they dropped the first two games of this season series. Of course, the last one in overtime, dating back to that game where Don Cherry got annoyed by the celebration there for Evgeny Kuznetsov. Great start for the Caps in the first period. Nick Backstrom is 20th. TJ Oshie is 24th and is 25th. On the power play, the second one was 3-0 Caps after one. More of the same into the second. Nick Backstrom, number 21. Then the Lightning would wake up. JT Miller, his 13th at 17:25. It was 4-1 for the Caps after 40 in the third. Tyler Johnson makes it a 4-2 game. But after that, here comes it, Alex Ovechkin. He did say it earlier this week that next game would be the time he'd get his 50th, and he was not incorrect.
Now Backstrom across the shot, and Ovechkin fires it over the net. It comes down to Oshie, whirls it in front, they score! Ovechkin hits 50 goals on a pass that didn't seem like it had a possibility of getting through to him, but he fires it in to make it 5-2. Let's move it around to Oshie, he couldn't make a play. Back to the point, Ovechkin intercepted by McDonough. He'll try the other side, and it banks right to Carlson to Ovechkin. The drive, he scores. Well, he scores 50, and then he scores his 51st to make it 6-2, and the Caps' second power play of the night.
Incredible! That's Rick Peckham on Fox Sports Florida. Alex Ovechkin becoming the third oldest player to score 50 goals behind Johnny Busick and Jaromir Jagr. Pretty elite company, and just the beat goes on for Ovi. Who's to think what would have happened if he didn't have 2 years taken away from his career as well, or a year and a half? I mean, it's been tremendous. This guy is pretty much automatic to score 50 every year.
Yeah, I mean, it is the first time he's done it since 2016, but yeah, I mean, that is kind of the mark. I mean, he hit 49 last year, so he was that close to it again. 8 50-goal seasons now on his career. The all-time record is 9, set by Mike Bossy and Wayne Gretzky. And again, like, you're considering the possibility that he passes Wayne Gretzky's all-time record someday. If he plays through his age 40 season, that's 7 more NHL seasons, he needs to average 33 goals a year. How many times has Ovi failed to hit 33 goals in his career? Twice. One of them was the 48-game season.
Why are you yelling at me?
I mean, it's insane. And then the consistency of this guy, too. The first 540 games of his career, he scored 328 goals. Tonight, he was the next 500... Well, okay, let's go. The last 541 games of his career, 330 goals. So basically the same amount over the same number of games. I mean, he's not slowing down at all. The game is opening up a little bit more. I think there's a legitimate shot he chases that. It's amazing that that's even a conversation, and it's going to be fascinating to see what happens 2 years from now in the summer of 2021 or the lead up to that. He's going to be a UFA.
Yeah,
like, what's that contract going to be? He'll be 35 years old at the time. That's a contract you can't walk away from in any way, an over 35 contract.
Yeah.
But he's going to be chasing history.
This guy's just at this point, he's got to be a capital for life, no?
I would think so. I would think so. And so maybe if there's a discount in there, and we know Sidney Crosby is definitely giving that to the Penguins, maybe Ovechkin has the same thing for Washington. But it's going to be something that everybody's going to be watching out for.
Again, sort of biased because we grew up in this era, but for my money, the best goal scorer of all time. Ovechkin, again, it continues. A 6-3 win here, by the way, for the Capitals against Tampa. We undervalued that just a tad. How much could Washington take away from finally taming the beast that is the Lightning? They beat them in regulation on home ice. Tampa had just 6 regulation losses coming into this one.
Well, I mean, I just think it's a good kind of... This is a measuring stick game for them. And you want to show the pushback. You want to show everybody, including Tampa Bay, that you can hang with them. But Victor Hedman did leave this game. He played just over 7 minutes, left the game, did not come back. There's no update on his status after. What happened was he went to hit Carl Hagelin, and Hagelin's helmet just hit Hedman in the face. So it's probably not something that's going to keep him out for long, but, you know, concussions are a vicious thing that you can never really predict. So without that post-game update, we have to keep watching this over the next day or two.
It is the key to see. I know Tampa's chasing history here, but I think you have to be smart, too, in understanding and comprehending that it's all about the Stanley Cup ring and not history.
And John Cooper said like he didn't want to rest guys because he was saying that would mean they're more important to the team. He doesn't want to set that tone, but at the same time, like, they are more important to this team, and you want to win. You know, Tampa Bay can still set the wins record, but this loss now, what they cannot do is pass the 76-77 Montreal Canadiens for the most points in a season, which I think is right, because that would have to have an asterisk next to it anyway, considering the Habs did in 80 games.
It's like the steroids era in baseball. Forever, an asterisk. Not a believe of that, for another show. We'll start a podcast sometime.
All right,
to the home of the Storm Surge, which was retired but then brought back. I don't know what's going on. Carolina, the Philadelphia Flyers on Fox Sports Carolina's John Forslund, Trip Tracy, the call.
It's Lucas Walmart and Scott Laughton on the draw. Sit back and enjoy this one. Philadelphia's Travis Sanheim gets to it, and he'll clear it in back of Mrazek. Played to the outside along the near wall by Trevor Van Riemsdyk, and popped out to center by Calvin DeHaan. Broken up. Good stick by James Van Riemsdyk. Corbin Knight for the front. Giroux, there he is. He scores! Claude Giroux has his first goal in 11 games. And the Flyers captain breaks the ice with 7:55 left in period one. Sebastian Aho rethinks it, sends it in for Williams. Power move denied. Stick saved by Talbot. They score on the rebound. Teemu Teravainen got to it off a scramble out in front. It's a power play goal, and with 6:25 left in this first period, the Canes have tied it. Give back for Falk. Aho again. Cross ice, Teravainen. One timer, Falk. He scores! Hey, hey, what do you say? Justin Falk from downtown. Power play goal again. Carolina with a 3-1 lead. Travis Sanheim resets it. Jake Voracek looks it over. Here's Sanheim. His shot off the body. Ricocheted in. Out in front, it's Oscar Lindblom, who gets to it. He was unmarked. Philadelphia with a power play goal. 6:48 left, and the Flyers are down by one. 3-2 Hurricane. Sanheim out to center. Over the line to the outside, Giroux. He'll wipe it in. Mrazek directing traffic. Drops it off for Pesci out of the corner. Out she goes. Slavin. Empty net. Bullseye!
3 seconds left. This is one that was needed. This is one that belongs to Peter Mrazek and the Carolina Hurricanes, as this afternoon they defeat the Philadelphia Flyers 5-2.
So there you have it. Storm Surge returns after it was retired, but the most importantly, Carolina wins it 5-2, a pivotal 2 points, especially knowing that after the fact that Montreal and Columbus both won.
Yeah, everybody in that wildcard race wins. The only team that has more wins than Carolina is 27 since January 1st are the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, we know their goal scoring has come around, but Peter Mrazek, my goodness, he is the story of this team here, and at least the second half. Just phenomenal.
For sure, and the Storm Surge, again, what do you make of that?
It was the original,
so is that
which
the final?
I guess is skating from center ice into the end boards. I think it was Warren Fogle, one of them. I'm pretty sure it was Warren Fogle.
McLovin?
Did you see? So he's coming up, and he points, which at what I think is a beverage sitting on the boards, and then jumps into the glass right there.
Well, a great wise man once said they're a bunch of jerks. So
yep, there you go. Well, they're a bunch of jerks if they stop doing this for real. Yeah, come on, keep
I know.
It going.
I think it's so interesting that players are so nostalgic and, you know, they're so premeditated in what they do on a daily basis, so ordained, and then now when it matters most, you're just going to stop doing it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like, you just continue on or you're going to get hexed here.
Don't mess with the hockey gods.
Exactly. They'll get you back. We head off next to the SAP Center in San Jose. The Sharks and the Vegas Golden Knights. The Sharks had an opportunity to clinch home ice in this series against Vegas. Yeah, these two teams are likely to hook up in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it lived up to the billing. You know, a very physical battle at times, got some offense. It's a lot of fun. William Karlsson scores his 24th. Tomas Hertl comes back with number 35. Cody Eakin, strong year for him, number 21. into the third. San Jose would finally fight back down 2-1 in this game. Evander Kane, number 29, unassisted. Mark Edward Vlasic is third from Couture. And at 12:04, almost less than a minute after the Vlasic goal, Shea Theodore comes back to tie it up from William Karlsson. Sets up OT, a late penalty for Vegas, sets up a power play in overtime for the San Jose Sharks.
Up to Couture. Burns, drive, score! It didn't take long. 22 seconds into overtime, a power play goal for Brent Burns. And the Sharks win it in overtime, 4-3, and they clinch second place in the Pacific.
Sharks win, Sharks win. They'll get home ice in that first-round matchup with the Vegas Golden Knights. Dave Gauche for the call there. Brent Burns, number 14 on the PP from Couture and LeBanc. Put you on the spot. If you had to put money on winning this series, who wins it right now? What would you do and who would you pick?
Vegas. Six games.
I think it goes seven.
I don't. I think Martin Jones is just not going to be good enough.
X factor.
San Jose is a top 10 offense in this league since the trade deadline, and they've been outscored.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
I'll wait a week, but I'm with you. Like, I'm taking Vegas to go all the way to the Stanley Cup, so I will pick them to win.
I probably will, too.
Could be a disappointing season for San Jose, considering all the moves they've made. And that roster on paper is phenomenal, but it's one thing on paper, the other to get it going on the ice. And it felt around December they were finding their groove, and then, again, injuries happen, and it has not been the same for this Sharks team. That said, we roll on here. We'll go up next to another highlight pack, another matinee affair. Fox Sports Sun, Steve Goldstein, Denny Potvin, the Panthers at TD Garden to take on the Bruins.
Back in historic Boston, Massachusetts, a matinee between the Panthers and the Bruins. Pre-game festivities are finished. Final seconds of the power play. Yandle sets up Hunt for a shot, and they score! Deflected in. Did Shea and get it? And the Panthers, on just their third shot of the game, just as the power play ended, take a 1-0 lead. Barkov, oh, is that slick. Hands it over to Huberdeau. Looking, has Ekblad stepping up with a shot, saved by Rask, and Dadnoff stuffs it in! What work by the five-man unit! And Evgeny Dadnoff's 27th of the year makes it 2-0.
And Mackenzie Wieger finds Vinny Trocheck. That's off Hauerluck's glove, though. Krug, drop pass. Nordstrom shoots, deflected, a save by Luongo. Achari got a redirection in front. Now put in front, and this time they score. And it's a 2-1 game. Brower shorthanded looking for a chance. He has one, he scores! Oh! Troy Brower let it fly and beat Rask for a shorty. It's 3-1. Marchand again, pressured by Matheson, who forces the turnover. And Huberdeau moves in. Along with Dadnoff, empty net, bingo. And the Panthers are up 4-1, but the Panthers will take it overall here in Boston, where Tuukka Rask had been 13-3 against Florida. The Panthers beat him in the Bruins, 4-1 the final.
There you have it, the Bruins victorious. Boston boy Keith Yandle picks up a point in this game, another point from Barkov. His legendary season continues, and Roberto Luongo, I thought he's supposed to be hurt, 30 saves in this one, a 4-1 win for the Florida Panthers in this matinee affair.
He's not hurt until he decides yes to retire. So did you see this? I don't know if you saw this. So he got named first star in this game, and they announced that he hadn't left the ice yet, and he has this like look on his face like, oh, I got named for a star, and he salutes the crowd where he's had like nightmare portions of his career.
Yeah.
It was just so Luongo to do
he's
that.
So great for the game, yeah. Roberto Luongo. So Boston loses a rare game. We roll on. The St. Louis Blues clinched a playoff spot on Friday with that Arizona loss. Still back in action in this one, jostling for home ice advantage potentially there in the Central, maybe even first in that Central division, visiting the New Jersey Devils. OT needed in this one, and this one was done like dinner.
Puck back to center. Dunn gets it. Time running down here. Dunn hits the line. Finds a seam in on goal. He scores! Fitz Dunn with 2 seconds left. He gets it done, and the Blues win in overtime.
Dunn and Dunn. Holy jump, and what an effort.
Poor guy. You think he grew up in high school. He's like, damn, I wish my last name was something else, and I played hockey, but nonetheless, great call there from the boys out there on Fox Sports Midwest. John Kelly, Darren Pang, Rogers NHL Live. Vince Dunn's had a solid year on the back end, number 12 from Ryan O'Reilly. Blues take care of business. 25 saves for Jake Allen. Suddenly 2 points behind Nashville and Winnipeg, respectively, for home ice in the Central.
Don't slag the name Dunn. That's my mother's maiden name. And if my Uncle Mike is listening, Uncle Mike, shout out to Uncle Mike.
Uncle Mike revenge on Nick Alberga. It's a great last name. It's just not great because of the puns. Like, people are just going to use it to death.
I get it.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, how many times people said, hey, that's a bowling point. Or
you go back
point.
At your career and you look at all your highlights and it's all the same pun throughout.
Yeah, people have been like, hey, that's a boiling point. Was that a boiling point in your season, Rory? Yeah.
No, I like that. Bring it on.
Thank you. I'm the king of those. Speaking of bringing it on, well, we had to bring it on. The latest game of the 12 in the NHL on Saturday. LA and Chicago. Well, it needed overtime and here's the winner.
Looking for Kopitar. Doughty, one-timer. He scores! L.A. wins the game. Drew Doughty set up by Anze Kopitar in overtime. Power play winner. L.A. gets 2 points. Chicago one.
There you have it.
That's the grand finale.
It's pause of the century, wasn't it? Pat Foley, the call there. Drew Doughty, Mr. 11 mil a season, Mr. I don't like Matthew Tkachuk. Scores the winner, and thus there is your 12-game slate from Saturday, Rory. One more to go for us and for NHL and for our route to the Stanley Cup playoffs. I believe 57 games remaining in this season.
I mean, it's happened fast.
I'm a stats guy
this
now.
This last week is going to be phenomenal. Tomorrow, I mean, Sunday, Carolina at Pittsburgh is going to be a huge game for those two teams that are still jostling for position within their division. Carolina, in the first wild card spot, trails Pittsburgh by just 2 points. They've both got 4 games left on their schedule. So a Pittsburgh win probably keeps Carolina in that wild card spot and gives them a date with likely Washington in the first round. But if Carolina can somehow flip that and get the New York Islanders, I think that makes their path, well, it definitely makes their path at least a little bit easier not having to go through the defending Stanley Cup champions. So, but I mean, they're both playing very well. They're both top four NHL teams just this month, and it's going to be a game to watch at 5 p.m. Eastern.
Certainly, and you know, we'll see how this week goes by, but Columbus, the Montreal Canadiens, the wild card races, I think there's a lot. That's what I love about the parity in the three-point game, and I know a lot of people have been naysayers of it, but you know, the fact that we get meaningful hockey games in respect to where these teams are going to land, like, we only know a couple series, and we're a week away from this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the argument against it is that sometimes you get an unworthy team in, but I would say if you're in the hunt, you're probably a worthy team. And really, sports are all about the intrigue and the drama. And if some other system awards the better team but takes away all that, I don't really think it's the better way to go.
Who wants to see a blowout, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, give me this until the end. Please, if we get in here next Saturday and Colorado and Arizona are still fighting, that I don't care. That's what I'm here for.
I think it was last year. It was Colorado-St. Louis, right? And we were on the air.
That's right, yeah.
And that came down to decide matters, and it looks like Colorado could be down that way. But I don't know. If you were to ask me right now, I think that'll be locked down by this time next week.
It looks like, because the reason why Arizona was starting to go again was they were getting some offense, and that it's, again, stops coming for them. They also play tomorrow against the Minnesota Wild at home. So, I mean, that's a huge, huge game for them. I don't think Minnesota is going to be getting in here. They're 4 points back. That's a lot to make up. But
Hayden's rolling his eyes.
The loser of that game is probably, even though there's going to be 3 games left for them, you're probably done if you lose in regulation.
There's the word done again.
Yeah.
Who's that, your uncle?
That's right. Yeah, my uncle.
Yeah. Done like dinner. I think the best way to describe Minnesota, I know Hayden's rolling his eyes. He's a big Wild fan. We all know that. But, yeah, I would side too, Hayden. It's been a tough season. Your coach guaranteed a playoff spot, and while it doesn't look that way right now.
No, it's. I mean, it would take one heck of a final week, and it would take some tripping up for the Colorado Avalanche, too. It's just that Colorado, you know, we talked about throughout the show about needing to be hot coming into the playoffs to, you know, have a chance of winning. Colorado is the hottest of all of these teams right now, and they have the advantage, 3 points up on Arizona, 4 up on Minnesota. There's not enough time left. There's 4 games left. There's not enough time left for them to cool off.
I think it's interesting, too, that these teams that make the playoffs, you know, like your Columbuses, your Montreals, I think are going down sweep alley anyways. Like, especially in the West, like, I think Colorado's going to get swept or lose in 5 games. Like, I don't give these teams a legitimate shot.
I look at Colorado differently. What Montreal and Columbus have that some of these others don't are elite netminders.
To steal a series?
To steal a series, yeah. I mean, there'd be underdogs for sure, and I won't be picking them, but we've definitely seen that play unfold before.
And I guess we should add, too, that Sportsnet's fantasy hockey pool, or fantasy pool playoffs edition, is returning for another season. That should be a lot of fun. I looked at the standings for the annual regular season pool, and it's coming down to the wire. Imagine you were one of those 5-6 people, had a shot at the all-new Ram 1500, and you're separated by a couple points, and you can taste that new truck.
I look at those stats, and I write that script every Wednesday for the Wednesday show. They show that leaderboard, and it's like, oh, my goodness. Like, I couldn't handle the stress if I was one of these five
people.
Like,
you mentioned all those names, but not the person who's in charge of fantasy at Sportsnet.ca. You can catch Nick Alberga's fantasy thoughts coming up on Sunday with respect to the way to gauge the last week of this NHL season. That's going to do it for Rory Boylan. I'm Nick Alberga. We'll talk next Saturday.